Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
Have you got your Bibles? Are you ready? The 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Hey, let me ask you something. How many of you like to receive a gift? Anybody? How many of you, when somebody wants to give you a gift, you turn it down? That puts you in an awkward place, doesn't it? Have you ever given a gift to someone and you could see it in their eyes or on their face that for whatever reason they didn't really like the gift or want the gift? How many have been there? That's a weird feeling, isn't it? I mean, because you don't know whether to say, well, here, I'll take it back. And maybe they're even attempting to put a smile on their face and act thankful, but you can tell that you didn't hit the mark. Let me just bring this down. How many of you guys have ever experienced that at home? Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, that's nice. And you're saying to yourself, oops, totally missed on that one. This chapter, the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, is all about spiritual gifts. Or if you can put it in this way, the gifts that God has given to those who belong to Him. Now, you see, we have, I don't want to seem critical on this, but I think sometimes we kind of turn up our noses to the gifts that God has made available to us. You know, we look at the list of gifts and we go, well, I'm not sure that I'm really, you know, it starts getting into those things like prophecy and speaking in other tongues and interpretation of tongues. And, you know, we might kind of slide in on, yeah, I'll take that one on miracles. That's pretty cool. But then we're kind of like some individuals that we know that when they open up the gift and it's not exactly what they want, you know, it would be, okay, God, give me a box full of money. I'll take that. But see, what you will come to understand through this passage of Scripture is that God gives gifts to His people, are you ready, that are not just for them. In other words, He knows what is best for all of His people. And He gives gifts to us individually that will be a blessing to all of His people. So that's kind of a different thing. I mean, I suppose that's kind of like one of you men buying your wives a set of pots and pans for her birthday. Honey, aren't they beautiful? Just think, sweetie, you can cook the beans in this one and fry the chicken in this one. Aren't you excited? Honest. It's kind of that way. Because God is giving us spiritual gifts for the sake of the whole body. One thing that you will learn if you are desirous to live your life God's way rather than your own way, is that self goes down as God is lifted up. It's just one of those absolute principles. Self goes down and God goes up. Can I tell you what the opposite is? When self goes up, God goes down. As we elevate and lift ourselves up, God is diminished. When we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, He is lifted up. See, there's a big difference between gift giving in worldly and gift giving in the spiritual. One of the most exciting and spiritual parts of worship in the church is the operation of spiritual gifts. When individuals will open up the grand package that God has given to them and take from that package the spiritual gift that God has given to them individually and then allow that gift to be used in the body of Christ, it is incredibly exciting because He gives different gifts to different people, but all for the edification or for the glory, if you will, of the whole body. So what happens when nobody opens the gifts? What happens when we don't like the gifts? Not only are we individually not blessed, but the body of Christ is not blessed. How many like to be blessed? But are you always willing for somebody else to do the blessing? Huh? You know, let somebody else do all the singing. Let somebody else do all the preaching. Let somebody else do all the visiting. Let somebody else do all the spiritual lifting, if you will, and let me sit back and enjoy it. I love it when the Spirit of God moves in a service. Can't tell you how many times I've heard people say that. But do you realize when you say that, then the real pressure comes back? Have you opened up your gift? Have you let God do in your life what He wants to do for the body of Christ? Now, let's scoot through this. And we're going to do the whole chapter here, but we're going to move. All right? So I'm going to take my coat off. You can't do hard work with a coat on. All right, look at verse number 1. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. That's cool. Okay? I don't want you to be stupid. I don't want you to be without knowledge. All right? You know that when you were pagan, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray by mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Paul begins here by identifying true spiritual gifts. Let me tell you why. Just because people were worshiping idols didn't mean that they just sat there and looked at them. They actually did chanting. They even allowed themselves to be worked up into a frenzy. There were demonic spirits that were attached to many of these idols. And so those demonic spirits would actually create, if you will, a spiritual atmosphere. So they literally would prophesy and they would speak out on behalf of that demonic spirit in relationship to the idols that they were worshiping. So now, these people came in and accepted Christ as their Savior, but they brought a lot of the idol worship ways, if you will, into the church. And so Paul is saying, first thing we need to understand is, how do you identify what is a true spiritual gift and what is just generated through self or through demonic spirits? Let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever seen somebody or been in a service where you knew that this person was doing something, I'm not going to classify it, but you knew that it wasn't God. You knew that there was self or something else involved because it's not God doing it. Come on, let me see it. It's an uncomfortable situation, isn't it? Well, see, when they wrote to Paul, when the church at Corinth wrote to Paul, they were writing, somebody was writing about this. Because there was nonsense going on. There was self going on. There was spiritual misbehavior going on. And they said, how do we deal with this? Because we know that there is a true and legitimate, but there's also a false, and we can sense that the false is going on right alongside the true and legitimate. So how do we deal with it? First of all, Paul says in verse number 4, he said, I want you to know that God rules over all of the spiritual gifts. He says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 4, there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. One of the things that we have to identify and understand as we approach spiritual gifts is that for every real thing that God has for his people, the devil has a counterfeit. So we cannot be surprised that the counterfeit would work its way in. I use it as a look-alike. And its purpose is to deceive and confuse. Because, again, the false will be of the same nature as the real. That's the reason why Paul begins here. He says, therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. In other words, you will not hear the enemy of our soul ever proclaiming the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ or his lordship. Huh? I have heard people stand up and spew things that were contrary to the word of the Lord. That is the same thing as saying Jesus is Lord. Accepting the word of the Lord as being inspired and true is the same thing as accepting Jesus as Lord. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Okay? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Huh? What I'm saying to you is the Word of God proclaims and identifies, if you will, the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. The enemy of our soul will not find himself proclaiming the lordship or the deity of the Lord Jesus. Let me just give a sidebar here. I won't charge you extra for this, but it's right there, so I'll give it to you. And that is, look at what is being challenged today in our generations. The inspiration of the Word of God, the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, and his absolute lordship. So what influence can we surmise, based on what we've already talked about, what influence is bringing this about? Satan, the enemy of our soul, is taking over, taking charge. And I wish I could say he's taking charge of the world, but it's bigger than that. He's taking charge of the church. Because the advocates of these transitions, if you will, are coming out of the church, where vast conventions of the church are proclaiming that the Bible is not the inspired word of God. They are proclaiming that Jesus is not deity. And they are proclaiming that he is not the absolute Lord of all. In other words, they're proclaiming that there are other paths of salvation other than by the blood of Jesus Christ. So when you hear these things, when you see these things on the news and in different places where this convention of denominational people have gathered together and have just made a new proclamation that there are other ways to be saved and to get to heaven other than through the power and blood and sacrifice of Jesus. Huh? Did that come by the Spirit of the Lord? No. That came from the enemy. And this is exactly what Paul is dealing with here. He's saying, come on, church at Corinth. Come on, 21st century church. Wake up to the fact that there are going to be two things flowing at the same time. We could actually say three, because there's always self in there. So you've got the Spirit of the Lord flowing within the church. You've got the spirit of the enemy of the Lord flowing in the church, and you have self. And self will be deciding whether it's going to go with the Spirit of the Lord or with the spirit of the enemy. And let me just put one more piece to this before we scoot on. When God's people, who are called by his name, who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, refuse to open up the gift that God has given to them, or fail to make themselves available to the gift that God has made available for them to operate in, they are giving leave to the spirit of darkness to prevail. You say, well, what harm is it for me to not open up the present? Well, for one thing, it's rude. Huh? If I bring a nice present and I've got it all gift wrapped here and I set it down before you and I say, here, this is for you, and you go, oh, that's really nice, and you just back away from it, I'm going to say, what's wrong? That's okay. You know, I don't want to open up because inside that box there might be some responsibility for me. I've heard what kind of gifts you give, preacher. Huh? We've got to understand that Jesus said it, you're going to serve either God or the enemy. And when God has given us such good gifts, and we refrain or fail to open them and put them into service in the body of Christ, we are serving the other side. Now, let me leave all of that there to just tell you, it's a grand, grand privilege to open up the gifts and let them flow through your life. A couple of weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, you spoke. Cindy spoke, and she was telling me how she experienced the flowing of the Holy Spirit as she was speaking. Life-changing. I said, life-changing. Even though that whole anointing was not really for her, it was for the body of Christ. See? But just being that vessel through which the Holy Spirit pours is an incredible thing. I'll tell you what happens. You want it more. Let me be used again. Let the Spirit flow through me again. Listen to what he says. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. That's what I said. It's for everybody. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Now listen, verse number 11. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. Praise the Lord. So in other words, the Spirit of the Lord is desiring to give gifts to those who will receive them according to what he purposes. That would be similar to, guys, your wife going out and finding a shirt that she really likes and giving it to you as a gift and saying to you, you look good in this color. It brings out your eyes. Everybody is going to think you look good in that shirt. And I know most men, they will wear that shirt because it brings out their eyes. And everybody's going to look good, think they look good in that shirt. So they won't just wear that shirt, they will wear that shirt. Huh? Now, guys, don't try that on your wives. It really won't work. There's something about it. But gals know how to touch on that ego that we have and feed it. Yeah? And see, God knows what is needed in the church. He knows more than we do. We may come in with our thoughts as to what should happen, but he knows what needs to happen. He knows what needs to be said. He knows who needs to say it. And so he will present, if you will, just like a beautifully wrapped present, he will present that to someone in the congregation. It may be a word of exhortation. It may be a word of prophecy. It may be an encouragement for some individual. You know, let me show you how this actually happens. And we're not going to go too deep into the different gifts this morning. We'll do that on another occasion. But just, you know, what happens is you're sitting here in a service, and all of a sudden, you begin to feel this incredible impression. You need to go and give an encouragement to some certain person. And then self gets involved and says, oh, they don't want to hear from me. What could I say that would be an encouragement to them? And the Spirit just gently says, but just go. Just go talk to them. Just go. Maybe wrap an arm around them. Just go speak a word of it. But what would I say? What if they don't want to talk to me? Just go. Just the Holy Spirit's so gentle. He gives his gifts so gently into our hands, into our lives. Now, I want you to understand something. See, when that impression comes, when that Spirit begins to speak into your heart in that way, he is giving you the gift. And at that moment in time, you will choose whether you will open it up and whether you will spread it forth. Now see, sometimes, you say, okay, God, I'm going to do it. And you open that gift up and you make your way over to that individual and you say, you know, you hold out your hand and you say what comes to your mind to say. And then you turn and you walk away and you think, well, I didn't think that really did all that much. But you never know. You never know what a word spoken, a handshake, an arm around the shoulder. Now see, that's just one of the gifts if you will, of encouragement that may come forth. You see, God also sometimes wants other people to speak besides just the preacher. So he will give a word of exhortation and place it in someone's heart. And I know, you know, you think, oh my goodness, if I speak that out and it, well, here, let me just give you a little bit of a proof. Never deny the deity of the Lord Jesus. Never deny the truth of the Word of God. And never deny that Jesus is Lord. Okay? So just make sure with whatever you say that you've covered those three things. And then let the Spirit of God move. Open the gift. You say, but oh, Pastor, he only gave me a couple of words. Oh, he's like that. He's like that. He just wants to see if you're willing to get involved. If you're willing to let his Spirit do the leading. Because see, he's not interested in you standing up and saying your thing. What he's interested in is for you to stand up and be so totally dependent upon him that you are praying before you stand up. Lord, speak through me. You minister. You be glorified. You be honored. There's a difference. Same thing, see, if he asks you to go encourage somebody. It's not you going there. It is you being obedient to be used in the gifts of the Holy Spirit that God has promised to the church. And it can be powerful. Can you, hold it just a second. Can you imagine with me what a church would look like that was, well, where all of its members were willing to be used in spiritual gifts? You say, oh, it would be chaos. No, no. Don't worry over chaos. He's put some things in here. We'll get to them to keep chaos from occurring. No, it would be exciting. As a matter of fact, much more exciting than Pastor Steve and I week after week after week. It would be absolutely glorious where the body of Christ was standing together. Oh, and let's talk about the body of Christ. Look at this, verse number 12. The body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, though all parts are many, they form one body. Okay. Hold on a second. How many understand what that's saying? Some don't. Gene, would you help me for a moment? Yeah, if you have to. Yes, you have to. Okay, you can just stand right there. But would you turn around? This, folks, is Gene. There is but one Gene.
Praise God. I just want to beat you to that.
Yeah, you knew what's coming in.
Yeah.
Okay. This is an arm. And at the end of it, there's a hand. But this is still Gene. Does everybody understand that? It's real complex, isn't it? This is Gene. This is Gene's arm. Gene has legs with feet at the end of them. Thank you, Gene. See, he really goes complex on us on this. He says, this is the body of Christ. This is the way. As a matter of fact, he comes down to the end of this section and he says, you are the body of Christ. In other words, when Jesus left this world, it was his intention that his Holy Spirit would come and dwell in the believers and that together they would be the physical presence of Jesus on this earth until he comes back. Now, how incredible is that? Now, some are hands. Some are feet, some are legs, some are shoulders. Huh? I know there's a lot of guessing going on. What am I? It doesn't matter so much what part of the body that you are. What matters is, are you alive? Huh? Now, you know, my left arm, is not as strong as my right arm. I can feel it. I can squeeze like this, I can squeeze like this, and I can feel this one's weaker than this one. And there's kind of I kind of despise this. And yet at the same time, boy, I hope nothing happens to this one. Because they're just little things, even like tying my shoes. If I don't have this one, it's going to be much more complex in trying to tie my shoes with just this one hand, this one arm. Now come on, make the application, church. Because you see, the church, the body of Christ, we are the body of Christ if you are a believer. We are the body of Christ. And we function at our best when all the parts are working together. But when some of the parts... I don't like the way that hand is working over there. I think Michael's way too noisy during service. And then there's Larry. Have you ever seen anybody that wants, is it real? Is he real? I mean, does he really want to shake hands with people and be nice to them? I mean, come on, really? And then, of course, there's Cindy. I know she has to go home and take a nap after she's here because she's just so worked up. And Boy, I thank God for Michael and Cindy and Larry. I thank God for those hands and arms and legs that are willing to get up and let the gifts of the Holy Spirit flow through their lives. Because see, please don't take this as criticism, just an awareness this morning. There are way too many members of the body that are willing to sit and watch the other members. It's like my whole rest of my body willing to watch my left arm do its thing. So what you end up with is you've got an arm and a hand and you've got a few other parts of the body that are working like crazy trying to make up for what the whole body could accomplish. Folks, this is the reason why 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is in there. So that we would realize that the body of Christ functions when all the parts are doing what God has ordained them to do. You see, it's really easy to walk out of church on a Sunday morning and to go have lunch and say, well, I don't know. His sermon, did you really get it? I mean, it was too long. And he messed around so much, told stories, did all kinds. I'll tell you something. When you were an observer, the only thing you're left with is criticism. That's it. But I guarantee you, if you become a participant in the body of Christ, your criticism level will go down. Just the way it is. You see, it's one thing to sit back there and to critique every song that our worship team does, the music instruments. You know, I think maybe that guitarist was off the beat just a little bit there this morning. Where's he at? I really need for him to realize that I think he was a little off the beat. You don't like it, play it. Become a participant in the body of Christ rather than a observer of the body of Christ. Well, there's a whole lot here and I'm not getting to any of it, but I'm going to take the last bit. If you would look down there at verse 28, you may have to turn the page like I do. He says, now you are the body of Christ. Verse 27. And each one of you is a part of it. Before we end this, I want you to make one proclamation. How many are saved? You're planning on going to heaven? Good. Good. Okay. If you're saved and you're planning on going to heaven, then you're part of the body of Christ. Okay? So this should be really easy. I would like for you to repeat after me. I am the body of Christ.
I am the body of Christ.
One more time. I am the body of Christ. So the only other question that is left on the table is, are you an active part of the body? Or are you a passive part of the body? Are you a participant as the part of the body? Or are you an observer of the body? In the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles and those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Then he asks the question, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Verse 31, but eagerly desire the greater gifts. The greater gifts. What are the greater gifts? The greater gifts are those gifts that edify the body of Christ. So there's where we pray. Honest. The prayer is not, Lord, give me a gift. Because he's already purposed to do that. And I would say, he has already done that. Whether you're walking around and ignoring the gift or whatever, but the Lord is already trying to use you in the spiritual gifts if you are a true believer. Okay? If you are a true believer, he is trying. In other words, his Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart and into your life, desiring that you would be used in the gifts of the Spirit. The only prayer that comes is, Lord, let me be used in the gifts that edify, uplift, encourage the body, and glorify you. That's where the prayer comes. Okay, so this becomes our pre-service prayer. This becomes our prayer on Saturday night before a Sunday. Lord, I know that you have given gifts to me. So let me be used in the gifts of your Spirit that will bless and encourage and help and minister. So that when we gather together as your body in the sanctuary on 27th Street in Bedford, and we lift up and begin to glorify your name, that your Holy Spirit would begin to flow through me. I'm not going to just wait for the preacher to bless me. I'm not going to just listen for the song leader or the orchestra or the band to bless me. I want your gifts in my life to be alive and powerful and ministering and blessing people. There's some prayer. Huh? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Sounds like a good scripture, doesn't it? Is that your prayer this morning? Church, we are the body of Christ. And to the body of Christ, he has given gifts as he desires. You say, well, why is this person over here used in this way? Well, two things. One, because God has given him that gift. And number two, because they were willing to open it up and let it be used. And the Lord is just waiting for you to do the same thing. Hallelujah. Say, oh, I want to hear other people prophesy. I want to hear other people speak encouragement. I want to see other people, you know, giving these expressions before the Lord. Well, don't look any farther than right in your own life. Isaiah said it, "Here I am, Lord, send me."